My name's Alison. I'm the curate here at St. Margaret's. And we're just going to look together for a few minutes at those two Bible readings, particularly concentrating on that reading that Kim's just read from Mark's Gospel. I have a question. How many of you ever played that game Guess Who? Raise your hands if you've ever played Guess Who. Then I know how much. Right, okay. Who thinks they might be able to explain how to play Guess Who? Anybody? Okay, I'll have a go. Right, you have two boards type things, and they've got flip-up slots of faces on them. And you have to take a card, and you play against your opponent, and you've got to guess who. Guess who is on the card. So how do you do it? You're only able to ask questions that need a yes or a no answer. So you get your card and you ask your opponent, because you're trying to guess what's on their card, has the person got blue hair? And they say yes or no. Has the person got glasses? Yes or no. And eventually you are able to get down and say, oh, it must be Mr. Bloggs or Mrs. Bloggs. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. If you've ever had the privilege of teaching a child how to play Guess Who, at the start it is slow and painful. They don't quite understand about asking questions with yes or no. But eventually the penny drops and they get it and it's quick. And they're able to say, okay, so it can't be that one, that one, that one. And they work out who it is. They guess who. Well, today, we're going to play Guess Who. But we're going to do it in a backwards way, because I'm going to give you the answer. The answer, as anybody who's ever taken a school assembly will know, is...
Jesus.
Tell the people who've taken school assemblies. The answer to Guess Who is Jesus. But there's a problem, isn't there? We can't ask, what does he look like? Did he wear glasses? Did he have black hair? Because we don't actually know. There's no way that we can say, well, this is what Jesus looked like. For other historical figures, there would be statues, paintings, in the more modern age, photographs. But there's nothing like that for Jesus that is an accurate description of what he looked like. Therefore, we have to ask other questions. And the first question we're going to ask is, did he really exist? Or is he perhaps a myth? Made up, you know, somebody like Robin Hood or Homer's Odysseus or King Arthur. Did he really, okay, sorry, Matthew, did he really exist? Well, one of the ways in which we're able to answer that question is to look at historical records. And first of all, we're going to start with people who had no vested interest in Jesus. The Jewish historian Josephus from the first century wrote that Jesus existed. So that's one person who knew that, yes, Jesus did exist. But there's also other evidence. The Roman historians Tacitus and Suetus, never heard of him, but he wrote and said that Jesus lived and was crucified. There's also evidence that we find in the Bible. This morning Kim read to us from the book called Mark, and this is thought to be the first of the books which tell something of the life of Jesus, written possibly some 40 years after Jesus. So in historical terms, that's seen as good evidence that Jesus lived And what we read in the Bible can be taken as gospel, as truth. Mark's also not the only book in the Bible where we find out about Jesus. There's others as well. And there's a lot of similarities in the accounts. So the answer to the question, did Jesus exist, is yes, he did. So what's the next question? Well, the next question is, who was Jesus then? Well, from our reading in Mark's Gospel, we read that Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. And he's there in a place where he's teaching other people. So is Jesus a teacher? Well, those listening to him are certainly amazed at his teaching. Are they amazed at what he's saying? Or are they amazed because they always thought of Jesus as just a carpenter? Maybe Jesus had worked in their houses and they couldn't or didn't want to believe this could be the same person. They also know who he's related to. Mary is his mother. And he's the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and he's got sisters. Perhaps those now listening to Jesus have been friends with him or seen him grow up alongside the rest of the children in the town. Is this the same person? Who is Jesus? I wonder if you've ever been to a reunion of some sort, perhaps school, workplace, a group of friends from the past. And that time beforehand, can be a funny time. Slight, perhaps, thinking, who am I going to see? Who's going to be there? Will I recognize them? Will they recognize me? But also, there's possibly a slight sense of anxiety about it. What will it be like? What will we talk about? I think a reunion has aspects that are positive but also negative. Jesus taught people he'd known for a long time. Their amazement at who he was turned to offence. Jesus' return makes those around him feel unsettled. There are those who are not sure about who Jesus is. They thought they knew who he was, but now they're not so sure. I think we can feel like this. Maybe Jesus is just the baby born at Christmas. And you know, that opportunity for us to have a celebration, to give and receive presents, to have a few days off work. Maybe Jesus is the one who died at Easter and so gives us the opportunity to just eat hot cross buns and chocolate. Maybe Jesus is the person we cry out to when in desperate need, or whom we swear by. But is that who Jesus is? We have to acknowledge Jesus was a carpenter. He was the son of Mary. He was a brother. But there was more. In a book called Who Is This Man? John Ortberg writes, normally, when someone dies, their impact on the world immediately begins to recede. Jesus' impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It was greater still after 500 years, and after 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After 2,000 years, He has more followers in more places than ever. It's here we can see something of the answer to who is Jesus. Let's just change that question slightly to what is the impact or legacy of Jesus? Anybody in education, impact might be a dirty word, I apologise. But isn't it impact? What impact is what you're doing making to the children's attainment? Legacy makes me think of the Olympic bid. Remember, 2012, there was going to be the Legacy Games, regeneration, exercise and sporting success for people. It was interesting to look and see the debate over whether there has been a legacy of the 2012 Olympics. Normally, when someone dies, their impact on the world immediately begins to recede. Jesus' impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It was greater still after 500 years. After 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After 2,000 years, he has more followers in more places than ever. There must be something about who Jesus is to have had such a great and long-lasting legacy on the world. We look at our society that we live in today. Many aspects of Jesus' teaching can be found. For example, the way in which children are valued is because of Jesus. In ancient times, children were regarded as being of limited value. Their inability to reason made them seem to be worthless. But Jesus turns that upside down. He says, little children, just like Mason, are precious and are to be welcomed. The impact of Jesus can be seen in the care we receive when we are ill. Many hospitals formed because Jesus cared for those who were sick and told his followers to continue to do this. The whole of the hospice movement in this country was founded by a person who followed Jesus and knew she had to act to care for those at the end of life. This very building has been here for many hundreds of years. It's part of the impact of Jesus. But, and it's an important but, this building is only here because of the people. It's the people who've been coming into this place that are the church. The impact of Jesus on people's lives means that they want to come and discover together more about who Jesus is. When we look at Mark's gospel, when Jesus has finished his teaching, he then sends off his 12 disciples to teach and to heal. Now, these disciples are ordinary, everyday people, just like you and me. They had had their lives turned upside down as they had listened to Jesus and watched him. It changed who they were. And these people, these ordinary people, set off on a journey. They were to take no bed, no bag, money, extra clothing. And where they went, they were to tell people about Jesus and what he was teaching. Can you imagine? If I was just to suggest that to you now, you know, you've been listening to me for a few minutes, and I told you to go. You don't know where, taking nothing with you, and tell those who met you about me. Well, you wouldn't do it, would you? Even those of you who know me a little well, you still wouldn't do it. You'd consider I had lost it, and you're probably quite right. But as disciples and many, many people down the centuries and around the world have done that, have gone and told people about Jesus. What have they told? Well, as Christians, we believe Jesus is God. He came to earth and lived in human form. He was crucified on a cross, and 3 days later, he rose again. Immediately, that very simple statement leads us to ask all sorts of questions. What? Why? How? When? Etc., etc. Today, as John has said, Mason begins a journey of faith. As he grows, part of the role of us as a church community, his parents and God's parents, is to support Mason as he asks questions about Jesus and about faith. That's what we do here on a regular basis. Questions help us to grow in our understanding of Jesus. There is no question too trivial, too small, too basic, or too big. Unlike guess who, the answer may not be a yes or a no. What's important is that we ask questions. And in asking questions, we will discover more and more about who Jesus is. This morning, you may have come to church with questions about Jesus. One of the ways in which we have answers to our questions is by prayer. We pray. God hears our questions, whatever they may be. Are you going to take that opportunity to ask Jesus who he is and the impact that he can have on your life? Guess who? The answer is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that we can come before you and we are invited to ask questions of who you are and of the impact that you can have on our lives. Help us to be willing to take steps to come to know you. Help us to know that whoever we are loved by you unconditionally. And help us as a church to be a place where we can ask all those questions, and that we can, by the power of your Holy Spirit, receive you into our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.